Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Pony Express.
It's not season ending, so we're excited about that. After surgery, we'll have more update for you probably Saturday when we get back together. Right now, we're just going to continue with who we got. We're comfortable with Cody and obviously get Clayton more work. Again, this is not with Nate. It's not season ending, so again, we're excited about that.
And thanks for joining me on this 11th day of August 2019. The Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio all across North America. Sirius XM channel 206 is where you find CBS Sports Radio. Also, the radio.com app, which you can download for free. I've got it on my iPhone. I've taken it all kinds of different places outside the country on vacation with me. Keep you entertained and informed while you're doing whatever. Cutting the grass, doing some yard work maybe today. Or maybe you're driving around, parts unknown. Can't find an affiliate, bad reception on your AM, FM, car radio, radio.com. Go there now. Get it. 855-212-4CBS is our telephone number. That's 855-212-4227. You just heard Doug Peterson, the Eagles Super Bowl winning coach, on an injury to his backup quarterback. Nate Sudfeld has replaced Nick Foles as the Eagles' backup quarterback. He was injured in Philadelphia's first preseason game. So now what? What do they do behind Carson Wentz? It's not a season ender yet, but it's a long-term injury. The next man up at quarterback for the time being is Cody Kessler. Was drafted by the old Cleveland Browns regime and in his rookie year went 0-8 as a quarterback. Now, a few days ago, Colin Kaepernick put out a video of his workout regimen, his daily quarterback drills, a video that went viral, reminding everyone that he still wants to play, reminding everyone that he can still play. Kaepernick's last meaningful snap in the NFL came in 2016. So his ban from the league is entering year three. And so I'm going to get out in the open some thoughts on Kaepernick right away here on this topic. The first one is, I think he should absolutely be playing in the NFL. A league that has allowed, in some cases, the literal scum of the earth to play in its league because they possessed the physical talents to perform at a high level. The NFL has made all kinds of excuses for players with awful resumes, with guys with just disgusting criminal records have played in this league. And so for Colin Kaepernick to be the one player who gets blacklisted by the 32 teams because of his social stance, because of his actions during our national anthem, because of his political views, I've never been able to figure that out. If the NFL has had a long history of establishing and letting it be known to its players that it was a privilege and not a right, and if I had a long list of players who had been excommunicated by the NFL because of inappropriate behavior, well, then I would say otherwise. But we know that's not true. We've also seen players in other... We've also seen NFL players like Kenny Stills and Eric Reed who continue to take a knee. They're on NFL rosters. There was a situation at Ole Miss. This story went completely underreported and wasn't really talked about. We had a situation at the University of Mississippi where pretty much their entire basketball team for a game took a knee last year. And they weren't boycotted. Those players weren't kicked off the team or kicked out of school. So it's always been about Colin Kaepernick and less about what he said and did. For whatever reason, well, I know the reason. He was the first to do it. He's looked at as the crusader. He created this movement. It started with him. And so he's going to pay the biggest price for it. Other players are allowed to do it. They slip through the cracks, but not Kaepernick because he's such a lightning rod. If he was signed last year, let's say, by an NFL team, he would have automatically become, if not the best backup quarterback in the league, well, then darn close to it. So that's my first thought on Kaepernick here. He should be in the league. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio. However, as it pertains to the Philadelphia Eagles in their backup quarterback situation, I'm going to say this. If I'm Philadelphia, I don't sign Colin Kaepernick. And I'm not passing on Kaepernick because I'm personally aggrieved or offended or I don't want my organization, my team associated with Colin Kaepernick's brand. That would not be the reason why I stayed clear or steered clear of signing Kaepernick. The reason why I would stay with what I've got with Carson Wentz as the starting quarterback and Cody Kessler as the backup for now is because I'm not sure right now, and given what I just said about Kaepernick, this might now surprise, you know, the pro-Kaepernick crowd that's hearing this. I'm not sure right now Colin Kaepernick is better than Cody Kessler. I'm not sure of that. And I'm not sure of that for this reason. Let me just take you through Cody Kessler for a second. Last year in Jacksonville, Kessler went 2-2. He won two games, he lost two games. My classic definition of a backup quarterback is a player who can just keep you afloat. And so a good backup quarterback, I would say Ryan Fitzpatrick would meet this description when he's asked to replace and not start. If I have a quarterback behind my starter who I think, if my starter goes down, I can win 50% of the games I play while that guy's out, well, then I believe I have a pretty good backup quarterback situation. You have a player on your roster who came in for a quarter of the year last year in Jacksonville because Blake Bortles was so bad, won two games and lost two. Cody Kessler's passer rating for his career now is 83.7. That's not good enough to be a starter in the league. That's good enough to be a backup. The same fans who tell you that Colin Kaepernick doesn't deserve to be in the NFL will probably tell you that Tim Tebow does because he won a playoff game and because he's a blood and guts player and he tries hard and he's a supreme leader and people rally around him. Cody Kessler's career passer rating is better than Tim Tebow's. Career passer rating for Cody Kessler is 83.7. Colin Kaepernick in his last 3 years, so a decent sample size, 2014 to 2016, Kaepernick's passer rating was 85.9. Better than Kessler, but not by much. And Kaepernick's been out for 2 years going on three. Last point on the Eagles' backup quarterback dilemma is this. Let's take another coach, okay? Let's say Kirk Cousins' backup gets injured. And Mike Zimmer gets up there the next day and says, I believe in our backup quarterback. Or let's say, think of another team here. Let's say Josh Allen gets injured in Buffalo, and Sean McDermott gets up there and says, we're going to trust our backup quarterback to win us games. Neither one of those coaches deserve the benefit of the doubt with that. Mike Zimmer's never been to a Super Bowl. He's never won a Super Bowl. Sean McDermott, in that example, he ended the Bills' playoff drought, but he hasn't done anything outside of that. His best year as a head coach is 9-7. The only coach in the NFL, as far as I'm concerned, other than, say, Bill Belichick, who could tell you with a straight face that he is going to trust the backup quarterbacks that he has on the roster and get away with it over signing Colin Kaepernick, is Doug Peterson. Why? Because he won a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. Just last year, Carson Wentz got injured again. Nick Foles goes in. The Eagles get hot in December. They beat the Rams in L.A. They hold off the Texans and win on a last-second field goal. Then they go to Chicago against one of the best defenses in the NFL, a place where Jared Goff threw zero touchdowns and four interceptions, and they beat Chicago in Soldier Field. So, honestly, if Doug Peterson thinks, if I have to win games with Cody Kessler, I can do it. My season's probably lost as it is without Carson Wentz. However, I trust this guy. He was with the Browns, disaster. He was in Jacksonville, disaster. And honestly, his career numbers are not all that different than what we last saw from Colin Kaepernick. I'm going to trust this guy in a pinch. I'll listen to that. I don't think, and I also believe this now with the Eagles, okay? If I'm making a list of teams who I think would have the courage to sign Colin Kaepernick, they're on the list. The Patriots are on the list because of Belichick, although he'd have to fight Kraft on it. The Panthers are on the list with Tepper. He signed Eric Reed. And I put the Eagles there too because I know it's not a political or social issue, but they signed Michael Vick 10 years ago. And they've had Malcolm Jenkins, Chris Long, and Michael Bennett on the team. Three guys who, even though they're not as polarizing as Kaepernick, all three of those guys are not stick-to-football guys. They're mixing in politics and their own personal views on the world, and they were welcome on the Eagles roster. So, in this specific case, if another team had lost its starter or backup quarterback, I could envision or imagine this conversation sounding very different. In this case, I don't think the Eagles should sign Colin Kaepernick. Do you? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. How would it make you feel? It's funny, last weekend on this show, I was talking about Tom Brady not getting a contract extension, and then boom, 5 minutes later it happened. If I spoke this into existence in 5 minutes from now, Colin Kaepernick signed with the Eagles, as a football fan, how would you react to that? How would that make you feel? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Coming up later this hour, Nick Saban chimed in on one of college football's biggest problems, and it's something you probably don't even know about, but it's real. It's real. We'll talk about that later in the hour. Should the Eagles sign Colin Kaepernick? As a football fan, how would you feel if a team like the Eagles signed Kaepernick right now? You can weigh in on that at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. My name's Andrew Filippone. The show is called the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Pony Express.
I really enjoy doing this show. Sometimes this particular hour can be a little bit tough because as a diehard sports fan, hello, that's why I wanted to get into this business. When there are live sporting events that I care about during the show, it's really easy to let the ADD take over and become like transfixed by the game or the event that I really want to watch. And so what happens during the spring is there will be sometimes Sundays we'll get an early NCAA tournament game, which will grab me. We had a couple of major golf tournaments like the Masters, because they had to move it up for weather reasons, was going on while I was on the air back in April. And what happens on this show is that we go on hiatus during football season because we have that NFL Eye on Football whip-around show that we do, which is great, by the way. When you're riding around and you just want something that is going to give you a full look at what's happening on a given NFL week, that show is perfect for it. You get the scores as they happen. If you're into fantasy, they tell you where the touchdowns came from. If you're into betting, you get injury updates. I mean, it's a really ideal show for the NFL fan. And so we leave. But we come back once the regular season ends. And so, like, that wild card weekend and that divisional round weekend, Sunday afternoons at this time, there are games on. Playoff games. So that's tough. And something that's going on right now, which I never expected to matter to me, is going on right now, and I'm getting pulled, I'm getting sucked back in like the idiot that I am. Backstory on me, Andrew Filippone, the Pony Express CBS Sports Radio. As a kid growing up, I had a choice to make. Do I pick the Mets or the Yankees? And like a total moron, I pick the Mets. And I think the only reason, like the 6-year-old or 7-year-old in me picked the Mets, is because I like blue and orange better than navy and white. It's like something just completely outrageous like that. So the Mets became my team, and I've got like nothing to show for it, really. Almost nothing. Misery, agita, heartache, frustration, agony, all of those things, very little in the way of winning. I'm in middle school, then in high school, while the Yankees are going crazy, dynasties, Torrey, Jeter, Posada, Clemens, Mariano, I mean, all that's going on. I'm getting completely, not literally beaten up, but figuratively beaten up in school because I'm the big Mets fan. All my friends are Yankees fans, suffered through that, bullied through that. Get out of high school. The Mets are finally like, all right, this youth movement sort of worked. We're good. And then they get beat by an 83-win Cardinals team in an NLCS. Then they have two straight collapses where they can't even make the playoffs. And the lowly Florida Marlins are the team to end their dreams both seasons. One of them shut down Shea Stadium, by the way. Then it looks like they've got this incredible pitching nucleus, this great stable of young arms, and it gets them to a World Series. And they lose in five to the Royals, and then Matt Harvey acts like a jackass and forgets how to pitch. Some arm trouble, some bad signings, some cheap, kind of thrifty moves made by the owner. And it looked like all hope was lost. And, you know, I'm a Fairweather fan. I'm not watching games every night with them. I see that they're 10 games under 500. Who cares? And now they've won 14 out of 15. In classic Met fan fashion, I go to one game during that 15-game run, and it's the one game they lose. So here they are, a half game out of a wild card spot, given up for dead. I think they were like 500 to 1 to win the World Series at some point this year, something astronomical or outrageous. And I'm trying to do this show and keep my eye on a game they're playing against the Nationals at Citi Field at the same time. The day-to-day of baseball is what still, for me, for as many warts, and they've got a lot of them, and as many issues as baseball has long-term with trying to engage fans, it is slow, it can be boring, the game aesthetically isn't as good as it used to be, the game is void of big personalities. You know, every little thing LeBron James does gets scrutinized on shows like this. Bryce Harper isn't subject to the same criticism, even though he's been a disaster this year. Mike Trout is like ho-hum, one of the greatest players of all time. Baseball's got major issues. But one thing it has going for it, as far as I'm concerned, is when your team is in it, and I don't mean like a shoo-in to make the playoffs, because at that point, you get to mid-August, you're just waiting for October to come. But when you've got a team every day that is battling for a playoff spot, and you're scoreboard watching, and you're checking the standings, and you're like counting down the hours and minutes until first pitch, and you're doing it every day, because there's a game every day. That is the essence of baseball. That is the sport at its best. The final push as they come around the quarter pole into the end of the season, the pennant race, although the pennant race, as we know it, is gone. You know, the pennant race where if you don't win your league, you're done. No playoffs besides the World Series, or even when it was just an NLCS and an ALCS, with all the wild cards now, there's a consolation prize for the teams, for the most part, who lose out on the division. But this version of baseball, as someone that now has some skin in the game and is invested because I've got a team that is right there on the cusp, in 2019, I think it's the sport at its best. You're living and dying every day. And if you lose tonight, you've got tomorrow. Whereas with football, there's so much time off in between games. And with the NBA and the NHL, my God, the entire league makes the playoffs. All right. That was a little self-gratuitous. But who cares? I mean, I'm just being honest. One of the things I stress on this show whenever I host is that I'm pretty much an open book for you guys. And I'm telling you right now, there's a game on that I'm just completely obsessed with. 855-212-4CBS is the telephone number. It's brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Nick Saban, I think the greatest college football coach of all time. I wasn't around for Pop Warner or Amos Alonzo Stagg, so I'm a little bit biased here. Nick Saban on a college football problem that I don't think enough people are paying attention to. It is a real issue for the health of college football, and he has sounded off on it. I'll tell you what the problem is and what he's saying about it coming up next. You can follow me on Twitter at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Pony Express.
Tell Alexa to play CBS Sports Radio. Echo, those devices that give you audio. You just shout out our name, and they'll play it. CBS Sports Radio. College football, we're actually a couple of weekends away from the first games. Miami and Florida will play each other on August 24th, and that'll kick off the college football season. It'll be an early appetizer before week one the following Saturday. And I was looking for things to talk about today. I wanted to do something on college football because I'm getting in the mood for it. And I saw this story from down in Tuscaloosa where Nick Saban on Friday was talking about the future of his program, but also college football in general. And specifically like this time of year, the non-conference portion of the college football season, which is traditionally September. And one of the issues Nick Saban has is that he believes eventually all major conference teams should exclusively play one another. That the Power Five should play the Power Five and that's it. That Alabama shouldn't be scheduling games with the Citadel, shouldn't be scheduling games with Troy State. Alabama should exclusively play SEC teams and Power Five teams. He told ESPN, I was in the NFL where we played all the games against NFL teams. Let's play at least 10 Power Five games. It would be better for the players, better for the fans. Now, this year, Nick Saban isn't practicing what he preaches because he's playing three non-Power Five schools, New Mexico State, Southern Miss, and Western Carolina. Now, Saban's issue at the heart of it is not just a fairness kind of thing where he wants every Power Five school, every team that theoretically can make the college football playoff to play not a uniform schedule, but something that is at least comparable. Because like right now, the Big 12, Big 10, and Pac-12 play nine conference games. The SEC and the ACC play eight. And I remember hearing West Virginia's football coach, Dana Holgorsen, before he left to take the Houston job, last year he said, this isn't right. You know, we're trying to create a college football playoff. We're trying to come up with the best way to crown a national champion, and we can't even get on the same page in terms of scheduling. We don't even have all of our power conferences playing the same number of conference games. Which I thought was a valid point, and it appears as if Nick Saban agrees with that. But at the heart of Nick Saban's issue with college football scheduling right now is the fact that attendance is way down, which is a problem that most professional sports leagues, we see this in Major League Baseball, even the NFL, the in-stadium experience is lagging behind the home experience, the television experience. So fewer and fewer people are going to games. And Nick Saban acknowledges this. He says, quote, if we don't change, fans are going to quit coming, and I can't say I blame them. He thinks the way to get more fans to the stadium is to create better games, and he's right. As a fan, I'd rather tell my friends, I'd rather be able to brag about or reminisce about going to Alabama and watching them play a cool out-of-conference game against Clemson or Texas than I would, say, Western Carolina or Southern Miss. How do you fill up a stadium of 80,000 plus when it's Alabama against Southern Miss, when you are paying money to watch a game that is probably going to end 55-3? Your number one you want to see when you go to a game, your team win. Number two, you want to watch a competitive football game, I think. So why does Alabama, if they want a break in their schedule because the SEC is so tough, I get it. But do they need New Mexico State, Southern Miss, and Western Carolina? Saban doesn't even think so. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio. Now, I told you at the start of this that I'm really excited about college football coming back. More because I just miss it. You know, I'm ready to have a Saturday where it's wall-to-wall games from noon Eastern all the way through to like midnight. I'm ready to be able to just kind of gorge on college football and having multiple games on at the same time. Like that whole day jam-packed with games nonstop, I love that. Like, I can't wait to get that going again in a few weeks. I took a closer look, though, at the first week of the college football season, and I got to be honest with you, very underwhelmed by it. This ties into what Nick Saban is saying. More games to get more people to stadiums to watch it. Are they creating? Is college football's regular season, they say it's the best regular season out there. Are they creating enough big games? I have the week one schedule in front of me. There are only two games that include top 25 teams playing one another. Two games. Now, I'm not asking for 12. I'm not asking for, you know, a dozen. For 24 of the 25 top 25 teams to go head-to-head against each other in week one. But I think the college football fan deserves more than two. Get right back on the horse the first week of college football season, and we've got two games that pit really good teams against each other. That's it. You have number 20, and I'm going by the coaches poll because we don't have the AP poll yet. Number 23, Stanford, plays number 25, Northwestern. That's one. Number 13, Oregon, plays number 16, Auburn. That's the other. The rest of the top 25, I'll take you through some of the games. Clemson opens up with Georgia Tech on a Thursday night because they're trying to promote this ACC network. My question is, for as watered down as the ACC is, couldn't they have picked a better game? And what I mean by that is, like, given the lack of sexy games here to start the year, I don't know the exact date, but I'm guessing there's a chance in, like, October. If they play in October, I'm guessing there's a chance on a given weekend, Clemson-Florida State will be a good game, but it'll be a kind of a overlooked game. It won't be like the marquee game of the weekend. Florida State's coming off a bad year. I understand that, but it's year two and they bring everybody back. How about Clemson-Florida State in week one instead of Georgia Tech, which is trying to make one of the hardest transitions in college football this year? They get rid of Paul Johnson. They're no longer triple option. They're trying to become more of a modern college football offense under a new coach. They're going to get absolutely smoked by Clemson. Clemson's not going to overlook the first game of the year because they've had months champing at the bit to get back out there. Clemson's going to bury. I don't know what the line is. They should beat Georgia Tech by more than 40. It won't be a game unless you're betting on it. It won't be a game in the second half. Alabama opens with Duke. Duke's first-round pick quarterback is gone. Terrible game. Georgia's at Vanderbilt. All right, conference game to start the year, but it's probably on paper the worst team in the SEC East. Oklahoma plays Houston. Ed Oliver's gone. Ohio State plays Florida Atlantic. Lane Kiffin's program last year took a massive step back. LSU plays Georgia Southern. Michigan goes up against Middle Tennessee. I mentioned Florida-Miami. That's not even really the first week of the season. That's August 24th. Texas plays Louisiana Tech, yawn. Notre Dame plays Louisville, coming off a 10-loss season. Washington, Eastern Washington. Penn State, Idaho. Central Florida, Florida A&M. Iowa, Miami, Ohio. Michigan State, Tulsa. Washington State, New Mexico State. Syracuse, Liberty. Iowa State, Northern Iowa. They're like no good games. You know, TV dictates so much of what happens now. Couldn't somehow ESPN or ABC coerce or convince a couple of these schools to play better games, to sign a home and home? Like, you have to do that years in advance. I get that. But in 2013 or like 2014, they couldn't have found a way to come up with better games for week one of this season. And once you know who the future opponents are, you should be able to move it around in a way to set it up so the first week of college football, after we've been starved, after we've had nothing for months, how about we get more than just Auburn, Oregon in week one? Two top 25 matchups the first week of the college football season. Stanford Northwestern is one. The other is Oregon Auburn. That's it. If you want to get people to go to games, you got to create better out-of-conference matchups, non-conference matchups. You can't reward teams. The College Football Playoff Committee can't reward teams who play lackluster, who play cupcakes and sisters of the poor in September. Even if you're an SEC team, do better. Schedule better. Challenge yourself. Alabama, can you do better than New Mexico State, Southern Miss, and Western Carolina? Duke is their lone Power 5 opponent. It's a team that lost its only good player. What do you think the line will be in that game? 35? Maybe more? It's out. Got to be more than that. All right. Conversation continues on Twitter, at CBS Sports Radio. For me, it's at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. On many of these same stations, the great Jody McDonald is next. I'll talk to you next week, Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific, the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.